Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, where we help leaders go further, faster. I'm Andy Stanley. And before we jump into today's content, I want to tell you about our sponsor, Belay. Now, if you've listened to our podcast in the past, you know I've talked about Belay before. Several of my friends and associates use this incredible organization. Belay offers five-star virtual assistant services and virtual bookkeeping for churches, nonprofits, and businesses. But what you may not know about Belay is the level of excellence they strive for and achieve in their business. In fact, they've won several awards for their virtual culture, but I want to be clear, their culture is 100% remote. That's what makes them such an unusual organization. There is no brick and mortar corporate office location. So when they say they know how to set people up for excellence when working remotely, they are living it every single day. They are the leader in creating high-performance remote teams both within their own organization and for their clients, and they would love for you to be one of their clients. Now, for all of our podcast listeners, Belay is offering their free download of 13 ways to build a high-performing remote team. It's filled with tips on how to keep your remote team performing as if everybody is in the office together. And you can download it at their website, which is belaysolutions.com. BelaySolutions.com/Andy. That's Belay Solutions, B-E-L-A-Y, Solutions.com/Andy. And so let's jump into today's content. I'm so excited about this month's podcast because I'm joined by my good friend Clay Scroggins. He's in the studio with me today to talk about his brand new, and I do mean brand new book, How to Lead in a World of Distraction. Thanks for being here, Clay.
So glad to be here.
And it's not your first rodeo here.
It is not.
It wasn't that long ago we were talking about how to lead when you're not in charge.
That's right.
For those of you who've not read his first book, you really should get that one as well. Both of these messages or life messages for Clay, I've worked with Clay for 15 years. And so I've seen this overflow from his life and his teaching, both for the folks in our church and specifically for the folks who are on our staff, our leaders. In fact, this message I first heard in church. And I thought, wow, I mean, it was great, you know, kind of a church message. But the message or sort of the theme of this content goes way beyond anything that has to do with faith or religion. And so then I said, hey, Clay, will you take that same content and come back and teach our staff in terms of just leadership? Because there's such an incredible leadership principle buried in there. And so he did. You remember that? And then next thing you know, it's a book.
And my boss, Lane Jones, who works for you, Lane said, you're going to turn that one talk into a book? And I said, hey, I got to get those kids through college.
Yeah. So. Well, the truth is the content, I mean, it was so written. The same with How to Lead When You're Not in Charge. I told you then, I said, that needs to be a book. It's just lots of content to ferret out and to tease out and to apply. So this, and again, this is such a relevant topic. And let's just start there. How to lead in a world of distraction. I mean, I hate to even ask the question. It's so obvious. But your answer to this question goes right to the heart of what we're going to talk about. Why is this such a big deal right now?
Yeah, clearly there are a lot of distractions in the world. I've done this talk in front of audiences at schools and businesses and churches, and I usually will just ask the audience, hey, let me just ask you, in the last 5-10 years, are there more distractions or less distractions? And of course, the answer is a resounding more. And so much of it is technology,
yeah,
social media.
Yeah, well, half the people looked up from their phone and said,
exactly,
what'd you say?
Yeah, exactly.
Did he just ask us a question?
That's right. So many distractions. But what I have learned is it's not the distractions themselves that are the problems. It's what the distractions are keeping us from.
Yep.
That's really where the trouble is.
Yeah, and the thing is, we're not even aware sometimes of what it's keeping us from because we're so distracted.
That is so right.
And every parent listening understands that. Every grandparent listening understands that. Everybody who's at work, everybody who's driving and listening to this, and they're about to pick up their phone and press pause because they've got to stop and get their coffee, and they know they're not supposed to pick up their phone. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. First time I heard you present this material, you used white noise as an illustration. And most of us know what white noise is, but for those that don't, remind us what white noise is and then tell us why you feel like that's such a good icon for all this content.
Yeah, it is. It's just that. It's an illustration. White noise, for me, has helped me understand distractions more. I never knew about white noise until I had kids. My wife and I have 5 little kids, and from the time they were babies, we turned on white noise.
The noise machine.
Exactly, yeah. The noise machine. And now there are so many apps that will play all kinds of stuff. I mean, you can play every frequency possible. Do you sleep with white noise?
No, I sleep with earplugs.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
The tree frogs behind our house, they're a chorus.
That's right.
And other animals, and I realized, oh, yeah.
I don't want to hear that.
I need less noise, yeah.
Well, to the point, that's exactly what white noise does, is it distracts us. You turn it up loud enough, and it masks or distracts us from the things that want to grab our attention. It keeps us from paying attention to those. The ambient noises that, like the chorus of the frogs or the coyotes or the raccoon in the trash can or the traffic outside, whatever it is. And in the same way, what I have learned, just as white noise is a sound masking device that keeps us from paying attention to those ambient noises, all of us have our fingers on the dial of some kind of distraction or noise in our life that keeps us from paying attention to those things that might actually need our attention.
So white noise is a negative in this, in that
way. It is. It's a negative because it's keeping us from paying attention to something that might even be negative, but something that we should be paying attention to.
So social media can become white noise.
That is social media, the internet in general, you know, any aimless surfing on the net,
yep.
Shopping,
yep.
Working out, eating food, hanging out with people. Honestly, everything in life can be a drug. Everything is something that you're keeping your fingers on. And what I've learned is, we have more control than we think, and oftentimes we turn it up when we don't want to feel the things inside of us that we don't want to feel.
Wow. And then I guess we turn it up just out of curiosity, and then we lose interest in the things that we should be most interested in. Like,
that's right.
I'm sorry, Sandra, were you talking to me?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you're the only one in the room. You're the only one in the car. Yeah. Who else would I be talking to, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
So what are some of the common ways, because this is, you know, we're talking about how to help leaders go further, faster. What are some of the common ways you've discovered that leaders mask what they don't want to face up to, which is a strange thing because as leaders, we love progress. I mean, we really do. We're kind of adrenaline junkies when it comes to getting things done. And yet, in spite of that, we are some of the biggest offenders of this principle.
Of course.
So talk a little bit about where this lands in the realm of leadership.
Yeah, so there's general forms of noise or general distractions like social media, like shopping, Netflix, you know, binge watching TV. Those are for the average person in the population, of course, that's common. But there are some specific forms of noise or distraction that are common to leaders. I built a whole chapter around these three. I call them the axis of distraction because they really do, in a way, they work together, but they are certainly common to leaders. The first one that I see is the appearance of success. And it's not just success, it's the appearance of it,
yep.
That our organization is successful, that I, as a leader, am successful. And we turn that up when the thing inside of us is screaming or it's getting louder. We don't want to feel it. We don't want to hear it. So we just turn up that dial of the appearance of success.
And you write this idea of appearing successful has become more important than actually being successful. That's a big deal.
I sure think so.
No, it is. I mean, we spend time and energy on the appearance
The
thing that we say we want to become.
That's right.
And the appearance factor is the distracting white noise.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And illustrations come to mind. Too many come to my mind. Maybe personal illustrations.
Yeah, I mean, I feel it within our organization that it's so common for every single organization, every business, every church, every nonprofit, every for-profit, that we want to focus on the things that make us look successful. Mm-hmm. When there might be something inside of our organization that we need to pay attention to, but instead we would just rather spend time working on making sure that we look as successful
the
as we want to
be. The up and to the right.
The up and to the
right. Pay attention to that. That's what we spend our time talking
That's
about.
Exactly
it's
right.
Easy to, it's easy to mask the things that need our attention by the things that distract us and that we give our attention to because we feel better about it.
That's
and
right.
it makes me look better in front
that's
of
right.
whoever I'm talking to.
That's right.
And that's we could spend the whole conversation on that because that is so subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And on the surface, no one would consider that white noise. We would just consider that, you know, that's just organizational life.
Sure.
But it is a distraction from the things that need our attention.
That's
then
exactly
you talk
right.
about the allure of progress.
Yeah. So you said it just a moment ago when you were introducing this concept for leaders that every leader has that drive in you that wants to move forward. The problem is we all know this, that great leaders are unafraid to shut down things that are working which makes us feel like we're going backwards because that might be the right thing to do. It might be the best thing to do. It might be the way to create another curve, another growth curve. And that's really difficult to do. And so we get sucked into the allure of progress as leaders. It's just so common for every single one of us. The third one is something I actually learned from you. When I was doing this in front of our staff, I said, hey, give me some common forms of white noise. And you said certainty, which I had never thought of it like that before, but do you remember why you would have said that, or what about certainty is attractive to a leader?
Well, because that's what makes me feel successful, and that's what people want. We talk about it on the podcast all the time. People want certainty, and so they follow clarity. Anybody that's clear, it sounds like they're certain, and off we go. But again, that can easily be a distraction from, again, focusing on or paying attention to the things that really deserve or need our attention relationally or certainly organizationally.
Well, I've learned from you the power of saying, hey, I don't know, let's figure it out together. And that's it is.
I say that a lot.
Well, it's not false humility. I think it really is.
No, it is false humility. I know.
I think it really is it's a resistance of saying, hey, I could be certain, I have the authority to whatever I say, people are going to listen to it and they're going to buy into it as the leader. But to really resist that turns down the noise and it allows you to listen within the organization, which I think is healthy.
And the reason these three things, and you give a lot more detail in the book, but before we move on, this is so important because when we think about distractions, even the leaders who are listening, we immediately go to the default distractions, like we've said, of social media and all this other stuff. But in leadership, in an organization, oftentimes successful leaders have learned to get offline. We've learned to shut down our browser. You know, there's a cool app now where you can build a forest by staying off of your phone. They're all kind of cool. I know, right, it's so cool. Right. We can talk about that later. In fact, we should get them to sponsor us. It's the coolest app. So that we can't be successful
time
if we're
management.
Not disciplined.
Yeah,
we get all that.
That's right.
But it's these subtle things of these three things that really not just eat up our personal time, they can eat up organizational energy because as the leader, people are going to follow my lead. They're going to follow your lead. So anyway, this is such an important part of the book. Anyway, so, you know, as we kind of get toward the end of this first discussion, so what do we do? Because you offer some super practical things to do about all this.
Well, I have probably too much of a desire to be practical and to find practical things. When I sat through grad school, it was so hard for me to pay attention to anything that I didn't feel like it was easily to apply. So yep. I have tried in this book to be as practical as possible to say, hey, the goal of this is to identify it and then to experiment with it, and then to listen to what it's masking. That's what we should be doing.
Yeah. Go over those again.
Yeah, that we would identify the distraction, that we would be able to say, okay, I think I know what it is that's distracting me. Unfortunately, identification is just part of it.
It's the easy part.
It is.
People say it's half the battle. I'm like, yeah, but it's the quick half of the battle.
There's a scene from Tommy Boy. I don't know, Andy, if you've seen that movie. You probably have better time management than me. But Chris Farley.
Ask me how many times I've seen that.
Well, you had boys that probably
right.
loved
exactly,
Tommy Boy.
Exactly, exactly.
There's a scene where Chris Farley's on the elevator next to Dan Aykroyd, and he had just rubbed the pine scent from the taxi all over his body. And Dan Aykroyd goes, you smell like pine tree perfume, kid. And he goes, it's actually a taxi air freshener. And Dan Aykroyd says, great, step one, identifying it. Step two, washing it off. And so I always think about that line whenever I think about identifying it. It's half the battle. That's just half of it, but it is a pretty easy part
easy
of it.
Map, yeah.
So other than identifying it, though, what I have learned to do, what I'm trying to do in my own life, is then to experiment with it. I mean, that's really where the payoff is when you apply the scientific method. The scientific method, real simply, is, you know, you make a hypothesis, I think this is going to happen, then you create a test, and then you observe it, and then you change a variable, and then you
repeat it,
and see what happens
over
again.
Observe and repeat it.
That's right. And so to experiment with your noise, to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to turn down this noise for a day, or for a week, or for a month, just to be curious of what it's masking. Mm-hmm. It's really the only way to find out what is on the other side of the distraction. And so the statement that I use over and over again in the book is that great leaders turn down the noise low enough and long enough to be ruthlessly curious of their emotions.
Wow.
It's the habit of great leaders. They turn down the noise low enough and long enough to figure out what is inside of me, what's really there, both in our organizations, but also in ourselves as humans, as friends as leaders.
And that's a scary process for some people because we say we want to know.
Yeah. It's like lifting up the rock.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you put the rock back down and say, we'll just leave those squiggly things right there. So identify your distraction, experiment with it, listen to determine what it's masking. And in your experience as a leader, because, and I'll just answer the question first so you can tell me what you think. But in my experience as a leader, discovering what I'm masking, it's not generally bad or wrong or evil. But it's important. Mm. And oftentimes, I'm not even sure why I'm afraid of that or why I don't want to look there or why I don't want to deal with that or address that. And again, that self-discovery thing, again, as we've talked about so many times, you can't lead others well until you figure out how lead yourself first. And this is so much about self-discovery and self-leadership. Can you think of a specific illustration?
Yeah.
Because this is a little intangible and ethereal. If we were just talking about, again, you know, I'm going to get off Instagram for 6 months, that's easy. Lots of people are doing that. This is more subtle.
Well, funny you should ask that because when I think about an example, I've thought about something that I watched you do, and I've never actually asked you about it, but I...
So just ask me now in front of...
Yeah, exactly. In front of all these friends. Well, there was a situation where we had a staff member who everybody loved, and he had been doing a great job, but he left to take a bigger job at another church in another organization. And
so far, five people's names come to mind. Keep going.
Exactly. Just five? Mm-hmm. So you had gotten word that we were thinking about hiring him back after.
Oh, yeah.
He had only been gone for, I think, 3, 4, 5 months.
Right.
Not that long.
Yep.
And I got a message from you saying, hey, can we talk about this? Can you hold off until we talk about it? And so when we talked about it, you were very gracious and you just asked a few important questions like, why did he leave? Why is he coming back? Those kind of things. But then about a week later, I think we were in a leadership team meeting where we're sitting around the table and we were talking about, hey, so we did end up hiring this guy back. And you brought up what was in you that seemed to be making some noise. And I thought, okay, now there's an example.
Oh, this is a great illustration of this.
Okay.
No, keep going.
Well,
I never thought of it in this context, but it's exactly what we're talking about.
I assume you turned down whatever the noise was to listen to what was inside of you that was going, why are we doing this? So,
wow.
Do you remember this?
Yeah. I know what the noise was. So as long as this is just between the two of us, right, and our producer out there, okay? So I'm going to whisper this.
Okay.
That is convicting. It's a great illustration. So growing up, my dad's an organizational leader and pastor, big dual ministry. He's 87.
Wow.
And still running the show. I mean, he is like all in forever till you know, he breathes his last breath. And so through the years, of course, there were patterns in his leadership that I picked up on, most of which were great. I just, you know, I give him credit all the time. But you know, when your dad, every once in a while, the dad will say, now, son, or remember this.
Yeah.
And so one of the remember this things is he said, when anybody ever leaves our organization, you just close the door on that and you just go forward. Hmm. You just, and the application was you don't ever rehire anybody. If they're not with you.
They're against you.
Well, I don't know against, but yeah, I mean, he might say that. I don't want to. But there was this.
They're not with you.
They're not with you, so you move on, and you never look back, and hey, you had your opportunity. We're moving on. And there is certainly a time and place to do that.
Sure.
But I remember this particular situation, and I remember it. I just, again, the noise, to your point, the noise was this messaging I'd picked up many, many years before that just plays in my head, and those kinds of scenarios trigger that noise. And so my temptation is what? Just let the noise mask out the rationale or the logic of this decision. And I put two and two together, turned down, okay, my dad is often right, he's usually right, but wait a minute, I've turned a saying into an immutable principle, which is always a bad idea, right? And when I kind of turned that down, I thought about this particular guy. He is incredible. He's young. Let's just say he made a bad decision. Haven't we all?
Yeah.
He realized he'd made a bad decision and had the humility.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say come crawling back. He didn't come crawling back. He just said, hey, I think I made a bad decision. Can I come back? Well, how foolish of me to let the noise of something really almost from my childhood to drown out a good decision. So, yeah, you caught me by surprise with that. But that's exactly what we're talking about, because the noise can come from a lot of good sources.
Yeah. And what I've learned about this topic is there are habits that you've got to have, which I think hopefully we'll get to in the next session or the next episode. There are habits that if you don't have them functioning in your life on a regular basis, you don't have those moments of clarity. You don't have that space to be able to think about it and evaluate it, which most of us don't because we just run from thing to thing. We're getting whipped by our calendar. Our calendar's on top of us. Yep. It's just on to the next thing. And I remember being so struck by the time that had passed, maybe a couple of weeks, where I thought, wow, Andy seems to have gone and turn down the noise to discover what was really going on inside of that.
No, and I never thought of it like that.
But it was awesome.
So anyway, thanks for that moment of clarity. I just learned something about myself. I appreciate it. And if really those of you who are listening, if you would not share that with anyone, I would, that really is amazing. Hey, before we wrap this up, I just want to say, as I mentioned at the top of the broadcast, Belay is our sponsor for this episode of our podcast. And if you missed the top half of the podcast, Belay is actually offering a free download entitled 13 Ways to Build a High-Performing Remote Team. So you can create high-performing remote teams, even if your team isn't even located in the same place. And again, this company is absolutely fantastic. You can download the tool and find out more about Belay at belaysolutions.com/Andy. That's belaysolutions.com/Andy. Now, Clay, let's wrap this up. What's at stake if we don't get this right? And again, my illustration, boy, wow, we would have missed out on bringing back an extraordinary person back into organization. So there's a, you know, there's my practical answer to the question. Sure. But in general, what do we miss out on if we miss this principle?
Yeah, there's obviously consequences or implications for our organizations, but it's really deeper than that, that this really is a book of self-leadership, that there is emotional awareness that's at stake. The best leaders are the most emotionally healthy leaders, and you can't be a healthy leader if you're emotionally unaware.
Yeah.
And so the more you do this, the longer you keep the noise up, the louder it gets, the longer you leave it going, the less able you will be to figure out what is actually in you.
Wow.
But then vice versa is true. The sooner you turn it down, the sooner you begin to implement habits in your life where you're regularly paying attention to what is in there, the better rhythm you will get in at identifying what is inside of you, which in turn will make you a better leader.
Hmm.
Dave Ramsey told the story the other day. I had the chance to sit down and ask him about this topic. And I said, Dave, you know, for 30 years now, you've been on the radio 3 hours a day, people calling and telling their stories. Can you think of an example where someone has done this? And he told the story. I mean, it's amazing how it just came to him like that. And he said, there was a lady that called in recently, and she was telling me that she had a problem because she was buying too many shoes. He said, how many shoes? She said, well, when I open the door of my closet, shoes fall out on me. So he said, that's a lot of shoes. And he said, well, have you ever thought about when it is that you buy shoes? And she said, yeah, I guess every time I go to my ex-husband's house to drop off our kids, I leave there and then I go buy shoes. And he said the two of them in that moment fortunately had an aha moment of her being able to go, oh, wow, I never knew that my shoe buying habit, which is the noise, was masking whatever dropping off that custody battle or the custody relationship.
It's so emotional.
Those kids.
Yeah.
It's so emotional. And it was, who knows what the emotion was. Maybe it was guilt. Maybe it was fear. Maybe it was uncertainty. Maybe it was shame, or maybe it was frustration or anger. Who knows? But the buying of the shoes was masking something inside of her. Now, the reason why that's important for our leadership is because you can't be a healthy person if you are unaware that that emotion is there. That the more aware you are of the emotion, the healthier you can be as a human, which will in turn make you a better leader. It'll give you more vision for your own future. It'll help you to find your best self, find the best version of you. And then it'll ultimately give you a better awareness of what's going on inside of your organization as well. But it begins with finding out what's going on inside of you.
Wow. Clay, that's amazing. And by the way, thanks so much for being here. I'm looking forward to continuing this discussion next month. And to all of our listeners, thanks for joining us. And make sure you check out Clay's brand new book, How to Lead in a World of Distraction. How to Lead in a World of Distraction. You can find it wherever extraordinary books are sold. And make sure you visit andystanley.com, where you can download the Leadership Podcast application guide to go with today's content so that you and your team can discuss this together. And as you read the book together, this may give you some questions to keep the conversation going all month long. And don't miss next month's podcast when we conclude this important conversation with Clay Scroggins. We'll see you then.